Welcome back to AI Daily. Big week in tech, huh? Wiz turning down a $23 billion offer from Alphabet? That's got to be a first.
It's certainly a bold move. Asaf Rapoport, Wiz's CEO, is betting big on the cloud security market, projecting it to be a $100 billion opportunity. Essentially, they're saying they can achieve a significantly higher valuation independently than under Google's umbrella.
It's a gamble, no doubt. But given their current $12 billion valuation, they're clearly confident. What's your take on their chances?
I think it's a calculated risk. The cloud security space is indeed exploding, and Wiz has carved out a strong position. Turning down Google might attract even more investors, signaling a belief in their own potential. It'll be fascinating to see how this plays out.
Absolutely. Now, switching gears to Apple, new M-series chips, a refreshed Mac Mini, and upgraded MacBook Pros. Pretty standard fare, wouldn't you say?
Evolutionary, not revolutionary. The performance bumps are incremental, but they solidify Apple's lead in the ARM-based chip market. The move to USB-C for accessories is welcome, though the Magic Mouse charging situation is still awkward.
Yeah, that's classic Apple. One step forward, two steps sideways. Finally, Dropbox announcing layoffs, 20% of their workforce. A sign of the times?
Unfortunately, yes. Drew Houston, Dropbox's CEO, cited a transitional period and the need for a flatter structure. This echoes the broader trend of tech companies streamlining in the face of economic headwinds. It's a tough market out there.
So Miles Brundage, former head of AGI readiness at OpenAI, predicts AI doing everything a human can on a computer within the next few years. Mouse, keyboard, even video chat. Big claims.
It aligns with what other key figures like John Schulman and Dario Amodei have been saying. AGI, or something close to it, is on the horizon. Brundage's position at OpenAI gave him unique insight into their progress, so his words carry weight.
But he left OpenAI, along with several other high-profile researchers. Is there a connection? Is this a vote of no confidence in OpenAI's approach?
Brundage claims it wasn't about safety concerns, but his stated reasons, wanting broader impact and independence, raise eyebrows. It's hard not to wonder if there's more to the story, especially with the recent departures of other safety-focused researchers.
It does make you think. If those closest to the development are stepping back, should we be concerned? Or is this just the normal churn of a rapidly evolving field?
Perhaps a bit of both. The potential of AGI is immense, but so are the risks. It's crucial to have diverse voices, both inside and outside these companies, pushing for responsible development. Brundage's move to the non-profit sector could be a significant step in that direction.
So OpenAI is seemingly closing up shop. Sam Altman says it's about safety, but is it really? Especially given Elon's very public critique of their shift away from open source.
It's a complex issue. OpenAI's argument is that by controlling access, they can better manage the risks associated with powerful AI models. They're prioritizing safety over open access, believing they can achieve higher safety thresholds this way.
But at what cost? Doesn't this contradict their very name, OpenAI? And isn't the open source approach crucial for fostering innovation and allowing wider scrutiny of these technologies?
Absolutely. The open source model allows for collective development, rapid iteration, and identification of vulnerabilities. Meta, with its Llama models, champions this approach, arguing it's inherently safer. But even their definition of open is debatable, given the restrictions they place on large companies.
It's a bit of a gray area, isn't it? Where do you draw the line between open access and responsible development? Is there a middle ground?
Perhaps a tiered approach, with varying levels of access based on user capabilities and intended use. Transparency is also key. Even if the models aren't fully open, sharing details about their training data and safety protocols could build trust and facilitate external oversight.
A delicate balancing act, indeed, and one that will have significant implications for the future of AI. From debating open source AI to scheduling family dinners, it's quite a leap, wouldn't you say? Today, we're diving into the world of AI-powered personal assistants, specifically for time management.
It's a fascinating shift, actually. We're moving from the theoretical and ethical implications of AI to its practical application in everyday life. This article about using ChatGPT for scheduling is a perfect example of that.
It certainly is. The author experimented with using ChatGPT to manage a busy family schedule, and the results were surprisingly effective, albeit with some caveats.
The key takeaway here is the iterative process. It wasn't a plug-and-play solution. The author had to train ChatGPT, providing specific instructions and refining the prompts to achieve the desired outcome. It highlights the importance of user input and customization in these AI tools.
Exactly. It's not about replacing human agency, but augmenting it. The author mentions increased family time and improved time management as major benefits. It's almost like having a personalized digital assistant, but one that requires careful guidance.
And that's the crucial distinction. AI in this context is a tool, not a replacement. It's about leveraging technology to optimize existing processes, not surrendering control entirely. The author's experience also highlights the limitations of current AI. It struggled with complex, multi-layered tasks requiring clear step-by-step instructions.
A classic case of garbage in, garbage out. It underscores the importance of understanding how these models work and tailoring your input accordingly. It's not magic, it's sophisticated pattern recognition and processing.
Precisely. This also raises interesting questions about accessibility. Will these tools primarily benefit those who are already tech-savvy and comfortable interacting with AI? Or will there be a learning curve that excludes a significant portion of the population?
A valid concern. As AI becomes more integrated into our daily lives, bridging the digital divide will be crucial. Ensuring that everyone can benefit from these advancements, regardless of their technical expertise, is a challenge we need to address. So we've got Amazon, Microsoft, Meta, and Alphabet collectively projected to spend over $200 billion this year on AI. That's not an investment, that's an arms race.
It's a land grab, really. They're staking their claim in the AI frontier, securing resources, high-end chips, data centers, even energy infrastructure, before anyone else can. The sheer scale is staggering.
And they're doubling down, despite recent market skepticism about the ROI of these massive AI investments. Amazon CEO, Andy Jassy, calls it a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Do you buy that?
It's certainly high stakes. They're betting that AI will transform their business models, making them even more profitable than their current ad-driven, product-focused strategies. But the question is, will these bets pay off? The technology is still nascent, and the applications are evolving rapidly.
It's a gamble, no doubt, but the potential upside is enormous. Whoever cracks the code on truly transformative AI applications stands to dominate the next era of tech, and these giants are clearly willing to spend big to win.
It's not just about winning, though. It's about survival. If they don't invest aggressively now, they risk being left behind. The speed of innovation in this space is relentless, and the competitive pressure is immense.
Absolutely. It's a classic case of adapt or die. And in this case, adaptation means spending billions on the future of AI. So, we've talked about the big players investing billions in AI, but what about smaller companies trying to carve out a niche? There's a new platform called OneMin AI, claiming to offer a suite of AI tools for a one-time fee.
It sounds almost too good to be true. Image and video editing, PDF interaction, translations, all powered by models like GPT, Claude, and Llama for a single payment. The subscription fatigue is real, so a lifetime access model is certainly appealing.
But can it really compete with specialized tools? Is it a jack of all trades, master of none situation?
That's the key question. While bundling various AI functionalities into one platform is convenient, the real test lies in the quality and depth of each tool. Can it truly handle professional-grade video editing or complex PDF analysis? Or is it more geared towards lighter tasks and quick solutions?
The article mentions monthly credits, which suggests usage limitations. That could be a significant drawback depending on your workflow.
Exactly. The no recurring fees tagline is enticing, but we need to understand the fine print. How many credits do you get? How quickly do they replenish? These details will determine the platform's long-term value proposition.
It raises the question of whether this is a sustainable business model. Can they afford to offer lifetime access and continuous updates without recurring revenue? It'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Indeed, it's a bold move in a rapidly evolving market. Only time will tell if this all-in-one approach is a winning strategy or a temporary disruption.
Let's delve into a fascinating and perhaps unsettling topic: the rise of AI companions and their impact on human relationships.
It's a complex landscape, isn't it? We're seeing AI step into roles traditionally occupied by humans, from personal coaches and mentors to even romantic partners and grief bots.
The article highlights the potential benefits, such as providing support for those struggling with loneliness or social anxiety. But it also raises some serious ethical questions. Can AI truly understand and reciprocate human emotions, or is it merely simulating empathy based on algorithms?
That's the crux of the matter. While AI can offer a sense of connection, it lacks the spontaneity, the unpredictability, the shared history that defines true human relationships. There's a risk of mistaking simulated empathy for genuine understanding, which could lead to emotional detachment and a devaluation of human connection.
The concept of grief bots is particularly thought-provoking. While the intention is noble, to offer solace in the face of loss, the idea of digitally resurrecting loved ones raises questions about the grieving process and the nature of memory. Are we clinging to an illusion, or is there genuine comfort to be found in these digital echoes?
It's a slippery slope. While AI companions can offer support in specific situations, the danger lies in substituting them for the messy, challenging, but ultimately rewarding work of building and maintaining real-world relationships. Those are the relationships that truly shape us, that teach us empathy, resilience, and the complexities of human interaction. We need to be mindful of not trading depth for convenience.
That's a crucial point. As AI companions become more sophisticated, we must carefully consider their role in our lives and ensure that they enhance, not diminish, the value of human connection. Thanks for joining us today. That's all the time we have for this episode. We'll see you next time.